This is the Ash London Live Podcast.
Hey, we're 21 Pilots. Now we're stressed out. Taking my
time on my ride. Well, it's been such a pleasure having 21 Pilots back on our radios here at Ash London Live. We are big old fans, the boys, and Shy Away was added to our playlist recently and has been a very welcome addition. And we welcome to the show from the band, Tyler. Hello, my darling.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Pleasure, treasure. Now, I got to set the scene for people at home who can't see this and they can only hear it because you're like in the cool looking studio situation.
I am. You're looking at me in my home studio down in my basement. This is where I recorded and produced the records. And yeah, I haven't seen the sun in many a moon.
Talk me through the name of this album. Like, we've come to expect weird and wonderfulness from 21 Pilots. It's one of my favorite things about you guys. Nothing ever really makes sense on the surface, and you have to do a bit of scratching, and that's cool. Scaled and Icy. That's, I mean, it's very emotive. Talk me through that, Tyler.
Yeah, well, when I first told my mom that was the name of the record, she goes, that's kind of hard to say. And I was like, thanks for the input, Mom. Talk to you later. Scaled and Icy, and I guess it's a play on words for it felt like what was expected of a music, I guess, project nowadays. It came from a world that was scaled back and isolated. Two very dismal, you know, phrases, and I wanted to break through that. I wanted to find the beauty in, you know, allowing imagination to destroy those two things. So scaled back, scaled and icy. And that's when this picture of this dragon came into mind. And I wrote from the most colorful and creative mindset that I could to try to, I guess, escape from what I truly was feeling at the time. And hopefully people can, you know, in a sense, relate to that.
This is the Ash London Live Podcast.
Hey, it's Mitch James on Ash London Live.
Well, it is a wonder and a joy to have one of our faves back in the studio where he belongs.
Yes.
Mitch James, you've crossed the ditch just for me.
I have, just for you, Ash.
You came a month ago.
Bloody good to be here.
Thank you. You came a month ago so that you could reacclimatize to Australia before this interview.
Yeah, and like we're saying, just this interview.
Yeah, nothing else.
I've come over, but yeah, sometimes it takes a month, you know?
Yeah, and that's the dedication I expect from my guests.
Yeah, absolutely.
And for all these for all these wusses who are just flying in the day before, like they can just stroll into this studio. I mean,
pathetic.
Shame on them.
Pathetic. Shame on them.
Shame. I really love your new song.
Thanks.
I heard it last week. Did I message you when I heard
it? Yes, you did. Thank you for that.
And that's rare because sometimes, you know, you hear a song and I don't like it. And then I like it third or fourth listen.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't like it at all, which is rare, but sometimes. And then I always hate it when I, because I know you a bit, you know, we're mates. And I always get awkward if the song's not great. Because I know knows I've heard it.
Yeah.
At some point they're going to ask.
Yeah, you like
but
it?
And I was like, and then you're like,
yeah.
But it's really great. But here's
Thank
the
you
thing,
so much.
Mitchie.
Mm-hmm.
You're a woke, lovely dude.
Mm-hmm.
And this song really is about, like you've said it yourself, becoming the person you never wanted to be and not being the person you should have and being a shit bloke.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't really imagine you being a shit bloke.
Yeah, well, I wrote it a couple of years ago. I had a breakup where I kind of just realized that I'd morphed into kind of everything I didn't really want to be in this relationship, and being overseas all the time and not really having any time to commit to someone when there's, you know, a lot of mutual lovers, it's a wake-up call when you end up at the other side of it. And so it's a real raw song for me, but it's a moment where I had to look in the mirror and really go, am I becoming the best version of myself? So shout out to my ex-girlfriend.
Hey.
This is the Ash London Live Podcast. Ash London Live.
So do I call you Peace? Is that what I'm supposed to go with?
Yeah, Peace is cool.
That's
Peace is cool.
Sick. What a sick name. I want to start there because I think, you know, these days we associate rappers with, like, you know, grit and hardness and all of these things. But you've chosen the name Master Peace, P-E-A-C-E, for everyone listening at home. So tell me how this moniker started, my friend.
So my real name is actually Peace. And then, I was just with my brother and he was just like, there was already a band called Peace, like, that I was going to start, like, my name as whatever. But there was already a band. And then he was just like, why didn't you just put the master, like, masterpiece? And I was like, I don't like it. And then I went to this event, like, obviously coming out as Masterpiece, but I went to this event and this kid runs up to me. And, like, this is only, like, 2 weeks before I've changed the name, whatever. Kid comes up to me and he's like, you're Masterpiece. And I was like, oh, like, this got a little ring to it. Like, you know, and then, yeah, from there we just kind of, so I don't know who the kid is, but thank you, because you're the reason why I stuck with that name. Because like, originally I could have changed it. I hate it.
This is the Ash London Live Podcast.
Hey, this is the Veronicas. The Veronicas, my darling, you've gone from crazy ass Godzilla to this beautiful duet with All Day. You girls are just keeping us guessing.
You know, because we made them over a couple of years, it takes on so many different emotions and energies, because that's sort of how it's felt. It's been a little bit erratic, a bit melancholy. You know, some of it's really high energy and fun, and some of it's really dramatic and depressing.
So. Well, speaking of dramatic, I watched the commercial on the television for The Celebrity Apprentice, and that's drama. There's yelling. Did you get involved in the yelling? This is crazy.
Yes, to put it plainly. No, I mean, look, it was a very intense experience. And, you know, we've made a lot of really wonderful friendships on the show. You could go in feeling so prepared and do your daily mantra, but when you're in those situations, it can very quickly become fight or flight. And I think what the beautiful thing about this show is everyone's fighting. If they are fighting, they're fighting for their charities. They're fighting to win, because it's about raising money for your charity. And everyone was really passionate about that, especially us. You know, we had a very personal reason for coming on the show. Our charity was the Brain Foundation. We love them because any money raised goes directly into research for the brain. You know, we've been very public about what our mummy's going through, and so that was in honor of her, and we were very, very passionate about it. So yeah, if you see us yelling, which was a lot of crying.
Yeah, it's probably more crying than yelling.
For sure.
This is the Ash London Live Podcast. Ash London Live.
Hey guys, it's Phoebe Rexha here.
Phoebe Rexha, welcome back to Ash London Live, my darling.
How are you?
Living my best life. It's a beautiful day in Sydney. Where in the world are you right now?
I'm in LA. I'm super jealous because I've been talking to a whole bunch of people in Australia, and you guys all seem so happy. Happy-go-lucky, the world's open for you guys, and here we are, still in quarantine.
That's us. Yay. Well, congratulations. The album is out, Better Mistakes. What is the one aspect, thing, part of this album that makes you the proudest?
The fact that I was very vulnerable and very real with the lyrics. Like, we didn't hold anything back. So that's what I'm the most proud of.
I love that. Is it a case of vulnerable with yourself and open about things that, you know, like, are hard to admit you felt or did? Or is it a case of I maybe have to, like, call some people from my past and be like, just so you know, this is happening, and, you know?
Maybe a little bit of both, but I think the first one, because I talk about self-sabotage and sometimes being your own worst enemy and sometimes being jealous of other women and not wanting to feel that way.
Yeah.
So, like, trying to, like, get myself back on track, mental health, body love. Like, I go in for all that stuff, like all the things that I feel like I've been dealing with as a woman.
Yeah. How do you fight against, because we do live in a world where even if you're not in the spotlight, the world is constantly just comparing women, pitting women against women.
Always.
And it is like,
yep,
a thousand million times worse in your position. So how do you actively fight against that? What does that actually look like for you?
I feel like for me, it comes from an internal thing, like a personal thing. And for me, it's like, if I ever feel jealous about somebody else, I'm like, okay, you know what? Like, I feel jealous about that, you know, but good for her. Like, I think right. You have to, like, literally, like, understand what it is. And then you have to, like, be like, you know what? I'm a little jealous. I want to have that. I want to do that. but good for her, because then I feel like we normalize that, because I feel like as women we make ourselves feel bad for everything. We say sorry for everything. We are always apologizing. It's okay to feel jealous. It's okay to feel a certain way about other women, because as women we're still behind where men are, unfortunately, and catching up. And that's why we feel like we're kind of, you know, we have
totally.
To compete.
It's conditioned.
We don't.
It's conditioned
you just
into
put the
us.
Eyes off the table. I'm just kidding.
This is the Ash London Live podcast. Ash London Live.
It is always a wonderful time here at Ash London Live when I get to well and truly fangirl over a song / person. Not to say it doesn't happen every time, but you know, sometimes more than others. And this is that particular time because I'm so excited about the song we're about to premiere, but even more excited about the fact that I've got the man behind it right here, well, on Zoom, Ben Abraham. Hello, matey.
Hi, mate.
Do you always have all of this gorgeous greenery and life behind you in your apartment?
You're
or?
Such a dick. No, I look like I live in a prison, and I freaked out when I realized there was a video component to this.
Thank you for making the effort.
Exactly.
That is the kind of effort that we require.
Yeah.
Now, for people that maybe, I don't know how you feel, because when you write a hit song for somebody else, people then will often think you're a songwriter, right? And you become the songwriter. It's like Julia Michaels. Took her a while for people to stop saying that she was the girl that, you know, wrote Justin Bieber Sorry or whatever. So are you was there ever a time, I mean, you co-wrote Kesha's Praying, which was huge. You performed it with her at the Grammys. Was there ever going to be a time where you were just going to be a songwriter for other people? Or is the narcissist in you just, you know, you need to be your own artist?
Well, you know me well enough to know that I'm always a narcissist. No, that was actually something that I struggled with when I first moved to LA. The only opportunities that I was really getting was to write for other people, which was amazing, but it definitely played on my brain that I was like, this isn't what I feel called to do with my life. But also, like, so how lucky that I got to be involved in a song like Praying. So it's kind of a double-edged sword, but I'm pretty happy that now I can be like, this is what I do. I'm not
totally.
I don't just write emotional bangers for women.
You write emotional bangers for yourself, which is kind of what you've done with this song, War in Your Arms. I mean, Wowzers McGee. It's a lot of emotion because it's not like a breakup song where you're like, F you, I've wasted my time. There's a lot more going on. So for people that are about to listen to this song for the first time, I mean, you can say as much or as little as you want about what this actually means to you, but take us on the journey, bro.
I mean, it's an interesting one. It's the song, like you've sort of said, it does kind of work on multiple levels. I mean, at its core, I suppose it's about being in a relationship, whether it's with a person or with a place or with a group of people or just an environment where you realize that love itself is causing pain and causing hurt, and just kind of getting to the point where you're like, I think it's time for me to break out of this.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean it wasn't love.
No, I mean, the kind of the heavy part is that it was love, but sometimes people that love you kind of are hurting you without realizing it. And so it's, you know, it's, look, I think over the, as my album comes out, I look forward to telling the full story of how this fits into that narrative. But definitely when I sing it, it's a mix of like, of kind of anger and then also just the release of articulating that moment.
And I love that.
Like, yeah, this song was initially going to be for someone else. And
really?
When we wrote it, I didn't have necessarily the same kind of connection with it that I have now. And actually, it very nearly went to Kelly Clarkson. I actually got
F off.
I got offered quite a bit of money to give it to Kelly Clarkson.
She would have sang it better just quietly. No, I'm just kidding.
There were a couple. There was, I have a version with Callum Scott singing it. I have a version with Stanash. Stanage singing it.
I love Stanage.
This is the Ash London Live podcast. Ash London Live.
Well, he's going to try and not to slip and slide off the chair here at Ash London Live in an incredible spacesuit. Mitch Tambo, welcome back to the show.
Yummy, yummy. It's so good to be here in studio, in the flesh.
Yay. Now, full disclosure, the whole office just got a performance. I don't think I've ever cried during an airlock performance, we call them. sometimes they're a bit borderline, as in like it's a new artist and they're still learning. But you, you on the other hand, just blew the roof off. That was beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that.
No, look, thanks so much for having me and just feel blessed to be here. But I've got to say the airlock title, it's a bit intimidating.
It is, isn't it? In the airlock, like no one can escape.
Yeah, I was like, oh, what's going to happen?
So congratulations. The new single is out, Dreamtime Princess. And Dreamtime Princess is... it's kind of a 90s throwback with a rapping Mitch Tambo.
I know, it's out there.
It is, but you can pull it off.
I hope so. I mean, I just took the risk because I felt I had something to say and I thought, you know, if I'm going to rap, I need to put it down to something that is reflective of me and I feel like that's my vibe. It's 90s, it's a bit funky. Yeah, I like it.
It's sick, but it is completely a line in the sand for you. It's really a declaration of how not just Indigenous women, obviously Indigenous women especially given, you know, the generations and generations of trauma, but women should be treated and respected, loved, worshipped, honoured. But you've like presented it in a way that's, you know, it's kind of subtle. It's like it gets you, it gets in you, then you're like, wait a second, is that intentional?
I wanted to do something that was, you know, celebratory and that was uplifting and, you know, that I could envision, you know, some sisters or aunties or whatever have you, like, just strutting down the street to this song, you know, like Saturday night, you know, a couple of drinks or whatever.
I'm a DTP.
DTP.
So tell everyone listening about the DTP story because it sounds like something naughty, but it's not at all.
Yeah, I know. So DTP, it stems from me being a young fella back in Temi. And the brother boys, you know, just having conversations, like, you know, what kind of wife do you want one day? And I was like, I want a DTP. I'm like, what's a DTP? I said, Dreamtime Princess, my brother. And they just lost it. Like, you're Wamba, you're crazy. And
which you are in the best way possible.
Well, you know, you got to be a little bit crazy.
Of course. Better than boring.
So many years later, I decided to, I was sitting there writing. I thought, you know what, that's actually a great song title. You know, what Dreamtime Princess, like, this could be a real fun song. And you know, long story short, I feel like as soon as I committed, it was like I was just taken on this, I don't know if it's a spiritual awakening, but like this 5-day encounter where it became very serious quickly, you know. Started to have some real conversations about domestic violence. And I just remember like it hitting me like, wow, like, you know, my sister, you're a queen, you're a royal, you know, like in the most realest way because... you know, we're connected to the oldest living continual culture on the planet. And to me, it's like, if we're going to talk about the Commonwealth and like kings and queens and those notions, then there's nothing more royal than being a part of the oldest living continual culture and being a woman who bears life out of her sacred womb. Like, to me, that's such a sacred, supernatural gift, you know. And so we had these convos and then it led to me looking at statistics in my community and the overrepresentation of just being so severe in terms of hospitalization due to DV. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to write this song with intent, like I'm speaking to, you know, my fellow sisters or just women, you know, aunties, whatever have you. And I just really want to celebrate. But in that celebration, open up the dialogue. Like, let's talk about DV. Let's talk about all of it. And it's not to condemn brothers in my community or men in general, but it is to say, bro, if you are, you know, flogging your partner, talking down to your partner, being severely negative, it's time to look at that.
Yeah.
And it's time to heal because we can't continue to make our trauma someone else's trauma and we need to break the cycle. So it's not me. I don't want it to be like I'm pointing fingers or I'm being top down saying this is how women are. It's not about that. It's about me coming from a matriarchal society, coming from a single mum, coming from a beautiful nan, aunties, amazing community full of strong, beautiful women. It's just my perspective, you know.
This is the Ashland and Live podcast.